friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
Hey, beauties.
Hi.
How y'all
doing? What we got going on?
We have another What Would You Do today.
Okay.
Awesome.
Good.
I know. So, should we dig right in?
Yeah, let's hear.
All right. Dear My Perfect Romance, I'm writing about a situation that has become a painful source of tension in an otherwise wonderful marriage. Makes sense? My husband is one of the kindest, most loving men I've ever known. Mine too. He adores his adult children and would do absolutely anything for them. One of the things I love most about him is the size of his heart. Unfortunately, I'm beginning to think that same heart is being taken for granted. For years, his grown children have had a pattern of making travel plans with us and then changing or canceling them at the last minute.
So what I'm hearing right now, his grown children, just that, you know, pronoun usage makes me think that they must not be shared children, like they're not her kids.
Oh, good point.
So are you thinking the same thing?
Well, I'm just trying to get a grasp of maybe how old they are. Are they old with children?
Grown children?
Are they in their 20s, their teens? I mean, I'd say maybe that's out of high school, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would
guess
that. We'll see if she gets clarified.
But it just sounds like they're not their shared children.
Sure.
Yeah.
His children are not hers.
That would thicken the plot.
That's what I'm thinking. So that's what I'm going with.
Yeah. 4 years, his grown children, you're right, have had a pattern of making travel plans with us and then changing or canceling them at the last minute. These aren't minor inconveniences. We often purchase airline tickets, reserve vacation rentals, rearrange work schedules, and make plans around their commitments. Ooh.
So it sounds like they're already like making the world just work perfectly for them in all circumstances.
They're dictating everything that's happening, not considering anyone else.
So she gives an example. She says, one recent example involved a family trip we spent months organizing. We paid several $1,000s for a large vacation home so everyone could be together. 3 days before departure, one of the children announced they had decided to attend a friend's event instead. Another changed their arrival date after flights had already been purchased. Neither apologized. In fact, when my husband gently expressed disappointment, they acted annoyed that he would even bring it up. Whoa.
Yeah, not cool.
Yeah, no, that's not cool. What breaks my heart is watching my husband absorb this hurt over and over. He is devastated every time, yet he refuses to hold them accountable. He dismisses it by saying they're just kids, even though they are in their early 20s.
Okay. Early 20s then.
All right.
Okay.
And I think you're absolutely right.
Interesting age. And that's because it is part of our normal development.
Absolutely.
To, you know, get space from and distance
from
yourself from your parents because you're not supposed to that's the age where you're trying to make a family of your own and you can't make it with your own family because then there will be genetic defects involved. And so, that's why biologically, they are supposed to be distancing themselves from
the family. So you're saying don't fall in love with your sister.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Okay. It's biologically why they do it to us. Even though it hurts, that's normal.
Yeah. I kind of think by their 20s, though, they should be finding their way back to being an adult and acting as an adult with your parents.
I think it starts in the teens, that biological phenomenon. And then once your brain develops enough that you can control your emotions a little bit and you can start thinking about other people, that doesn't happen completely until mid-20s.
Yeah.
So they're not quite there yet.
Yeah, they're not. But they should be close enough that they shouldn't be doing this.
But I also think that we all have developmental things, but 4-year-olds still know to say please and thank you.
Yeah,
and they
good point.
Still, you know, so
depends on the 4-year-old. Depends on how they're raised and how they're taught.
Well, that's true too.
And it sounds like this might be the problem because there is still a level of respect, and there's a difference. This is repeated disrespect from the sounds of it.
But I'm just thinking back to my early 20s, and at that point, I had a family of my own.
Yeah.
And I was very busy and involved with making a life for myself.
Yeah.
And did I make it a point of coming home and prioritizing, you know, my family? not as much as I maybe should have, but I did what I could.
Well, yeah. Yes, but you were...
You had a baby.
You were in college and had children.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like,
if I didn't have those things, would I still... I think having a baby of your own
makes
you more empathetic and understand how hard it is for to make things happen as a family.
And to be a parent.
And so it should have only encouraged it more for me to try to spend time with my family because I understood more than... probably what these kids understand about that.
Yeah. Probably.
And I don't know what it is, but I feel like sometimes just in general, the general empathy of society has decreased.
Yeah, that's true.
Sure, there is. When you are that age, early to mid 20s,
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of things go unnoticed as far as being sympathetic, empathetic, understanding the things that you
that
need
the world
to do
around you.
Well,
yeah,
yes,
very,
and
self-absorbed,
understanding
behaviors.
The things you need to do to keep a relationship. You know, going with your parents, your siblings, other friends.
Your priority is with your peers,
yes.
Not your family right now.
Yes,
yeah.
Although I don't think what these kids are doing, it kind of goes beyond that.
Yeah, that's kind of excessive.
It's beyond it's just not getting
so
it yet.
It's disregarding and completely like...
I mean, you guys remember last Christmas?
Uh-huh.
That scenario?
Yes.
Where I
yeah.
had that
the Hawaii
vacation.
Trip.
Yeah, the Hawaii mm-hmm.
yep.
trip. And literally at the last minute, it was made impossible for me to go. And not mm-hmm. only that, but I couldn't go.
And
my child
couldn't go. You didn't
even
get refunded tickets. You couldn't even refund tickets.
Yeah, no, lost thousands. And what I was hoping to have be a wonderful experience, like just for a short little period of time.
Yeah.
And then I tried again this last March. But this time I didn't invest that much money, only rearranging work schedules and making plans. But I didn't fire away on the money thing because I didn't want to get burned again like I did the prior time.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, well, let's do a little tester of a smaller thing. And even then, not able to commit.
Oh,
and
man.
Both times I was made to feel like the bad guy.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is, this is a somebody who is very in touch with like how other people feel.
Yeah.
But there seems to be some kind of a...
You don't count as a person?
Yes. As a mother, all of your efforts don't matter.
That's kind of true.
Because it's expected of you. This is just what you do.
Yeah.
And so it's like there's blinders towards me. Would they ever do that to their friends? Absolutely not.
Or even
their
other
sister?
Parent.
Absolutely not. Their other parent? Absolutely not.
Why do they do it with the safe
parents?
Because
I've always been the one to make
everything
happen.
Yeah.
And to make life happen. It happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it really hurts my feelings.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I've been burned enough times that I'm like, shame.
You've had this exact same scenario happen to
you, girl.
It
feels like it. Like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So like, I'm like, okay, now I'm the one that needs to say, enough is enough. For any kind of future vacations or plans, I will let you know. And you are going to be the one that's responsible to make the time to come if you want mm-hmm. and to pay for your portion of what that would be if you want to join us. But I am no longer going to make any efforts other than letting you know what the plans are and including you in the opportunity
to
come.
What
about
that's how I'm handling it.
How
yeah,
are you
absolutely.
Dealing with a child who has always been, reliable? Are you still going to pay for that child stuff and still be like, you're reliable, I can rely on you, I get this, is this fine?
I think that as a parent, it is important to let your kids understand, like, this is a luxury.
Mm-hmm.
This is a necessity. Are vacations a luxury? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and is it good for them to be able to start managing their money, learning how to prioritize their money? Yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, exactly.
Well,
I'm going to have both of these
children. Let me just interject
absolutely.
Really quickly.
Yeah.
You would hope that those situations occur,
yeah.
especially, with your situation, Lisa, and this writer's situation, there's learning going on. Like every time that there's a wrongdoing or a child not respecting or respectful, there's steps.
They don't go, you're so fucking annoying for being hurt. Just get over it and leave me alone.
Yes.
I didn't want this. This is
that's what happened.
Yeah.
So
and then,
I don't want to
so
go.
Beat
it's
up,
why
you're beat up multiple
you
times,
me,
even though I agreed to it and I said sure.
Yeah.
Or
so by the third time, it's on them. You're no longer going to, and hopefully after that, there is a, okay, I won't, I understand now because I'm going to, or I won't go or whatever.
It's, there's going to be natural consequence totally for what's happening.
In your court.
Let's, let's finish this up real fast and see what they say. So I'm not angry because plans change. Life happens. I'm angry because there is no consideration, no accountability, and no consequences. So the stuff that we're talking about right here, that's not happening. There isn't okay, now I'm not going to pay for vacations anymore. Okay, now there's no accountability. There's no consideration. None of this is happening. Meanwhile, my husband is left hurt and we lose thousands of dollars year after year. So they're still shoveling out thousands of dollars every year. Yeah. And the husband is still just getting stabbed every year.
So it's happening over and over and over again.
Why change?
Just like a twice.
Why change behavior? Why would the children change the behavior?
Behavior, it is hurting you enough that it no longer works.
Exactly. You don't change when you're comfortable. This is what she says. She wants to know, how do I support the man I love without becoming the villain who points out what everyone else seems and determined to ignore.
It sounds
tired of watching him get hurt.
It sounds to me like he's okay with this level of hurt because he's not willing to do anything to change it. Because you'll only accept the amount of abuse that you think you deserve.
Yeah.
And so that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah. Don't say that.
No, I really truly believe that. And I know that I've experienced that myself. And so for him, I would really... Well, since she's the one writing it in, I would really encourage her to just support him in getting some counseling services in place and to learn how to give yourself some self-compassion.
Does he even recognize?
Some boundaries, how to recognize.
Yes, does he recognize that his children are continually doing this to him?
Well, I think he does. He says he's constantly hurt.
Okay.
It's super hurting. And that's why she's like.
And clearly he just doesn't even know how to set a boundary.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know how to say, this isn't okay. I'm not okay with you hurting. Because that's like when you start to build resentment and hurt and anger, like that is actually like our body's way of saying a boundary has been crossed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. And the fact that he's recognizing it, right.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even know what to do. He doesn't even know how to handle setting boundaries.
Yeah.
And those are skills you can learn.
Mm-hmm.
And when you learn how to set boundaries, like, there's a process to it.
But
it's not like you can just like lay down the hammer and everybody's like okay with it. It takes time and it takes repetition and it takes little steps.
But it doesn't sound like it sounds like she's been like trying to like, hey, you know, I'm the one who keeps like saying bringing this up and like, and then also like, I mean,
here's the hard thing about
like that's like, how do you not poke at someone who's like really hurt and then you go, okay, you know, how do you not make that hurt?
Here's the hard thing. Here's the hard thing about being a very nice person and not wanting to hurt other people's feelings.
Yeah.
And being overly thoughtful.
Overly accommodating.
Is that you are taken advantage of over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that it's important for those individuals to gain strength somehow in them to actually say no.
Yeah.
That's very hard for a human that is so worried about hurting other people's feelings or making a situation uncomfortable.
Or maybe
it's very hard.
Thought of themselves of like the.
Well, it's just hard to say no. You just you don't want to create uncomfortable situations.
So for this person,
but how do
the spouse who's trying to support someone who can't do that, clearly they need love and clearly they need to be reminded of how invaluable and appreciated they are. And I really think that this kind of might boil down to some issues with self-esteem and with compassion, self-compassion, and just even the ability to say, I am worth having some say in life.
Yeah. Well, so, I really feel that it's okay to say no to save yourself, because in the long run, if you keep letting other people, especially people you care about, keep walking all over you and taking an advantage of you simply because you are afraid to say no to make things uncomfortable, then you are going to be the one who is hurt at the end of the day.
But that is coming from someone who does consider themselves worthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't even think that you're worthy of consideration or asking for something that you need yourself, like you can't even think that way.
But it sounds like he's mentioned it to them, the kids, and it sounds like the kids are just like,
I'm sorry, but those
you're so fucking like, annoying me. Shut up.
They he's sound like trying to set boundaries, but it's,
they're if, they, so if they're not going to change,
if they're, it's so like, what does he do? Well, I don't, I think going along with Lisa, there needs to be a shift in how he maybe views himself and some courage just to say, look, this is what I need in life. Mm-hmm. This is what's going to make me happy. And in order to do that, I need to say, set boundaries and say no to certain people and certain situations. Like my children, I need to say, here's the boundaries. I'm going to say no. And ultimately, I'm going to be a happier person because of it. But saying no is okay. It's will.
But what would he be saying no to them?
Because they're canceling. Because it sounds to me like he is investing a lot of time and money.
Mm-hmm.
He can cut off funds.
Well, saying no is just what I mean by saying no is that is not an option.
You can't tell your kids, I'm sorry, you don't get a switch and go to your friend's place instead of you committed to me, you come with me.
Well,
I mean, you can say that, but you can't.
It starts off with small things, right?
Yeah.
Because obviously they get away with a lot. So small things. So you can't, I'm going to tell you ahead of time. These are the plans. If you don't come, then I'm just not going to include you in these things until you tell me. I don't know. Setting real boundaries.
Having a real consequence for, like, if you show up. If you cost me this much money.
Okay,
So you're not getting a Christmas present because I just spent all your Christmas money on this trip.
Well, no. So here's the thing. Like, that's an unrelated consequence because now you're punishing them for something totally unrelated. The reason why here in America we have more lawsuits than anywhere else in the world, we have way too many lawyers and they need to get paid and they get paid. Well, this is true. Mm-hmm. And let me just talk about law, but like they don't put a bosh on the number of law schools that are allowed to open. There's no oversight that way. So they just keep popping up and anyone can go to law school. I shouldn't say anyone, but it's not
super hard.
You can have any kind of background and get into law school. So actually, there's a lot of lawyers and those lawyers need to be fed. They need money. You get money by suing people. You get sued because until something hits your pocketbook, your behavior is not going to change. It's just not. And so that's why it's so effective. And these kids, it sounds like they have been catered to and made their life is made super, super freaking cushy.
Dude, I want to go on expensive vacations. Super expensive,
thousands of dollar vacation. I mean, they said thousands. Yeah, we lost thousands because of this. And they have never, ever had to financially do anything.
They've never had
skin in the game.
Yeah.
So when you have no skin in the game, it costs you nothing to say,
tired. I think can you just change my flight till tomorrow? I'll join you guys. You can stop what you're doing and come pick me up at the airport tomorrow.
Well, based on what you said, Lisa, what if he said, okay, that's fine, but I need to pay for your flight. So I guess that $1,000 I was going to give you for A, B, and C is going to come out of that fund.
And that's what I think should happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to relate it to
what should happen.
So if they're paying for, I don't know, a tuition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or a down payment on a house.
But I will say, then it can get kind of shady and manipulative.
Yeah.
A little bit. Because then it's like, oh, we're going to plan this vacation. And by the way, because you aren't going to come, we're not paying for this. Like, it could.
You can't buy your children.
You can't.
But it sounds like these kids have already been.
Oh, if they choose to cancel.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say.
They agree to the vacation or not. And you have to have set timelines for these things. Like, so you need to agree if you're going by XYZ or QRS.
Yeah.
But if they agree to come.
And you pay for it.
And you pay for it. And then they change their mind. Do they then owe you that money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then how are you going to make them pay you that money?
You don't make them pay it. You just make it out of the next thing that you would give them.
You're like, so guess what?
Hey, you know what? You're going to need to take out loans for this portion of tuition. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Or
I do that with my kids. So like for tuition, like if they don't do just the simple, I mean, obviously we make too much money for them to get a lot of stuff, but if they don't just sign up, like you get an automatic like $4,000 in-state thing just by doing like writing your name on a piece of paper. Cause so it's like, I'm subtracting you're just being lazy mm-hmm. money. And I don't call it that.
Yeah.
Except to you guys.
And all of our listeners.
And all of our listeners. Luckily, my kids don't listen. So yeah. But I love my kids. But I do. I was like, listen, I will cover, you know, I will cover part of tuition. But thank I'm you. Subtracting that from it because that's just you being wasteful. Now, if you need help with all those things, I will help you do any of those steps.
But mm-hmm. I do want to say this is very privileged. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, how many people are paying their kids tuition and can use that? Mm-hmm. How many people are, I just don't think that that's like a very accessible.
Well, you could
be in this situation. It is.
It could be. But, well, for these people, but I would even say, let's see, you don't have a lot of money and you babysit for your daughter, right? Mm-hmm. This simple thing. Like you babysit all the time. They bring them over and then you ask them to go out to lunch or something. They say yes. And last minute, they're like, nah, I've got something else going. You're like, oh, okay. Next time they want you to babysit, you say, you know what? I've got something else going. It doesn't have to, I mean, yes, financially, but sometimes it can be time.
Time is more valuable than money.
Yes. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, what are you giving your children?
Yeah.
Unconditionally. You just give them this and they're taking it for granted. So you can start saying, you know what? You didn't show up when you said you were going to. This is maybe the consequence.
Yeah.
And you follow through with it, whatever that might be. So then the next time. They think a little harder about canceling.
And I will put a caveat out there. Like, if they're canceling on you last minute for, like, a truly legitimate reason.
Oh, absolutely. Don't be dick.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I mean, there's a slippery slope.
Yes.
It can happen. And it's like, if you're like, it's hard to set boundaries this way. Like, mm-hmm. because you did this, now I'm going to do this.
That is true.
It kind of gets icky. Challenging. And so...
But, you know, I think part of it is maybe
it's only sort of like, it's not tit for tat. It's when you keep getting walked all over because you're constantly saying yes. It's not like, well, you did this and then you did that. It's being taken advantage of consistently.
Yeah,
and it's just being your feelings being hurt
because of it.
Yeah.
And at some point when that happens, you need to set boundaries and say no. And even if it sounds like this man is super nice. And that's hard for him. So first of all, he's going to have to learn how to set boundaries. Maybe think ahead. Say, okay, my children have a tendency to cancel. In his brain, he can say these are going to be the consequences of them canceling. Yeah. So he's thought about it. When it happens, he can say, oh, okay, well, that's fine. You can go hang out with your friends instead of meet me for lunch. But, you know, I had to pay for that. So I don't think I'm going to give you that this month. I'm going to take it out of your grocery money.
Here's something that I'm just thinking, and just because I'm going to play devil's advocate, this is one of the hardest dynamic shifts in life is when mm-hmm. our kids become adults and they have their own things going on. It is a really lonely time for the parents of adult children because those kids don't necessarily prioritize you.
Absolutely.
And if you're harping on them like, oh, you did this, you did that, you hurt my feelings, then guess what? They're going to stop coming around entirely.
Exactly.
And saving the relationship is more important. And so, having reasons for them to want to come around and giving them the option of whether or not they want to and being patient with that is kind of a balance between I'm not being manipulative, but I'm leaving the door open for you.
Well,
and
it's not possible
for you to want to be around.
Sure. This doesn't sound like that. This is... And of course, it's not a tit for tat and you're not always like making your kids suffer and pay for it. This is to the point when you're being...
But if your kids only view you as a money or a resource they can tap into and not as a human that has true connections.
Yeah.
That makes you feel loved and absolutely heard and valuable as a human being.
That's where
they're
damage
not
is.
Going to treat you like anything other than a resource.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that may be what the crux of the situation is.
That very well could
be. Is that the relationship has become a resource instead of a human connection. Mm-hmm. And I think that may be what's happened.
It's become a transactional relationship.
Yes.
Well, and you might switch that by still being transactional. You want to spend time with me, perpetuating
a situation that's already been.
This might be a way to change the dynamic in the situation, because let's say these children are there, he's not creating a relationship with them at all because they keep canceling on all these things.
No.
So if there is a legitimate, if they don't come and there's a consequence, then they'll start coming.
So the consequence is, gosh, I missed out on a really fun trip.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's a good consequence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm not going to turn around and say, well, now that you didn't come, I'm going to start taking money from you, because that's continuing a transactional relationship.
You know, that's
and I think just always leaving the door open and always letting them know you are welcome to be a part of my life. My life is great. I'm enjoying myself. I'm inviting you into it. And sure. I'm not going to try to hurt our relationship by continuing this transactional thing that's been going on.
That's a good point.
And I'm going to let you be a part of my life and see how great it is. And build a human connection, a real human connection, instead of a transactional one.
But how do you do that if you live in a different...
They might not do that. It might take them a long time to come around and say, I miss my dad. You know what? I see all these great things he's doing. He's a fun guy. I want to be a part of that. And I'm going to make that happen.
So do you at some point say, this is what I'm doing, I love you to come, based on your cancellations? What if you said, based on you canceling all the time, if you want to come, you can pay for it and come.
As adults?
You know?
That is totally legitimate.
Yeah.
And that is totally fair. And that's what I would do. I would say, come be a part of my
life. Maybe you say, hey, we rented the house.
Yeah. So can you get yourself here? If you get here. There's a place for you, and we've got lots of fun things going on.
Yeah.
But here's the thing too, renting a house that fits two people versus getting a house that holds, four people is thousands of dollars.
Well,
difference.
you're getting confirmation beforehand because you say, look,
but you're not. I mean, you're still back in the same situation where we just got a much more expensive house.
Well, what if you said, we're renting a house. I need to know by this date whether you're coming or not.
If you're not, then you're not coming and I'm not renting.
But
what happens, it sounds like, is they tell him, I'm coming. And then they don't. And so you rent the house with the non-refundable.
I would always make sure I'm renting something that's refundable, number one. And then I might even have a backup plan to that. Like I might rent two non-refundables up to a certain point. Have one be appropriate for if it's just us, one if it's them. And then change it when I need to.
And then, but if they go last minute, then, you're like, oh, it's within 3 days.
You just need to set boundaries. You say like,
but that's, it sounds here like he's is, tried, but or, they just ignore.
No, here, no, you say, hey, we're renting a house. If you're coming, I want you, you're paying for your plane ride. And I need to know by this time, if you don't tell me, you're not coming.
How about if you want to come, I'll buy your plane ticket, but you have to pay the deposit on the house. Well, the non-refundable deposit.
Well, how do you make that happen? Does he have like a...
Instead of we'll find the house. You can just Venmo us that, and then,
I still feel like that there's not an accountability for that. They could easily not.
If they paid the non-refundable deposit for the place up front.
Now they have skin in the game. And they have some motivation.
And then you can buy them. And then even if
they can feel the pain of them changing.
If they change their mind at the last minute. Yeah, maybe you bought them the airline ticket and they can,
What if they just keep not paying? What if you're like, we need your money? Oh, okay, I'll do it tomorrow.
No, you don't book it until they do it. And if it's getting too late, you just say, we booked one for just the two of us because you guys didn't.
Okay. I mean, either way.
I would just book one for the two of us situation.
Yeah.
And then if they decide that they're coming and they've bought their plane tickets, then I'd be like, all right, I'm going to book you one too. Or book a hotel.
Yeah.
We're talking about booking houses. Like hotels are a lot easier to like add extra room.
God, hotels now are like $250, $300 a night for nothing special.
It's crazy.
Well, I know, but you know what? If that's how you keep the door open, sometimes you have to make requisitions or you rent a big house and guess what? You get to have a really good time in it.
So I think this, the woman who wrote this should have a conversation with her husband and say, this is what I'm seeing. And I see that you're hurt by this. here's some ideas on how we could switch this up to work for us. Have a game plan in advance before you do a vacation so that the children can be held accountable for coming. You know, like mm-hmm. do the deposit, pay for your own deposit, pay for your own plane ticket, set some real clear boundaries.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then I guess some of the hurt would be if your children are coming when you're paying for all of it, they probably won't want to come when they have to pay for some of it. But no. Here's the thing too.
But that's why I say live your best life.
And the other thing is
make them want to be around somebody was fun to connect with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like we're going to Europe and here's some pictures. We had a really great time. Wish you would have come.
Yeah.
Next time, maybe they'll want to come.
Yeah. Because you really don't have control over anyone else. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you want to make them be a part. You want to invite them to continue to be a part of your life and not to keep the transactional relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been going on probably since childhood. Mm-hmm.
But I still say hold them accountable. Absolutely. Hold them accountable.
And it sounds really hard.
We're changing the way we're doing things because it hasn't been working in the past.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is a cancel culture thing at all because, you know, I hope that no matter what happens with your child, that you will always have an open door policy with your children. Does that mean that you have to accept children who are going to come in and, you know, beat you up? That does not mean you don't have boundaries with your children but you always have an open door. Like children are always welcome back. And that doesn't mean that they're welcome back to walk all over you or to use you or to steal your money or to hurt you or to break your stuff or take your stuff. But they are always welcome. They're always welcome.
And there's something magical about treating them like the adults they want to be.
Yeah.
And having them show up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like adulting, that helps them build their self-esteem too. Mm-hmm. And that's never a bad thing. Age and wife, for sure.
Well, but I also think that both parties. It's a relationship, which means that it has to work for both people involved. And if you have to hit a pause button and tell, you know, keep the door open, that doesn't mean you have to put up with the abuse.
You might have to put a pause button until their prefrontal cortex is more developed and they can be more empathetic.
Exactly. And you can always still be there for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, but you guys, thank you for sending us your What Would You Do?
Yeah, so that was a good one.
Yeah, keep sending us. We'd love to. So if you'd like to, go to www.myperfectromance.com and there's a link with the What Would You Do? And you just send fire away. We'll get it. We'll talk about it. We'll sort through them first.
Yes.
And then we'll talk about it. All right. Thanks, you guys.
I'm Courtney.
I'm Val.
And I'm Lisa.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Good night.